You know, the beautiful thing about God's presence is that no one can say that I hyped it up. So can't nobody say I hyped it up or he hyped it up, because God entered in. And he entered here because he loves us and he desires to deal with us. Now you can be stubborn if you want, but I've learned one thing: it pays to respond to the presence of God. It pays. It pays to say, yes, Lord, when your mind and your flesh says, no, I won't go that way. It pays to say, I had to do it before. I had a situation one time that stood in my way for 5 years. It was so powerful and so strong that I didn't know how to deal with it. And I went to the Lord many times in tears. And the beautiful thing that in the midst of those tears, the Lord would always give me comfort. But he always brought me closer and closer to where I needed to be. And then one day the Lord ministered to me in a very particular way. And I was lying on a couch and I was weeping. And it had something to do with forgiveness. And I told the Lord, I will forgive. No matter what, I said, I will forgive. And right at that particular time, the Lord began to deal with me in a different way. The tribulation and trial was yet in front of me for years, but it was different because I was in a forgiving spirit. And I've learned one thing about serving God, and this is something that gets caught in the human spirit. If you're not able to forgive, God will not forgive you. He will not forgive you. You know why he won't forgive you? Because all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. Before God, we are all sinners. Before God. Before men and before ourselves, we have our own righteousness. And our own righteousness, sometimes we assume that it will sustain and God will uphold it. God will never uphold your righteousness. Your righteousness, my friend, will destroy you before sin will. It will destroy you before sin will. You know why? Because sin, you can recognize. Your self-righteousness, you cannot. You cannot recognize it. You do not see it because it's your righteousness. And it's your way. And it's how you feel and what you see. But from God's angle, God is saying, unless you deal with that properly, you receive nothing from me. So if anyone feels as though you're cut off from God, check your spirit. Check your spirit. Because God has demanded us to love those that are even our enemies. Even our enemies, we're to love. Oh my God, help us. Don't let let me say I have the power of the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost can't find a place to move in my spirit and in my heart. I don't want to make that proclamation because I really don't have it. I really don't have a knowledge of what the Spirit of God is trying to do in my life. He's trying to tear down every wall that he can flow through. He's trying to tear down every wall that he can be God and be God alone. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to become your own God. Because once you become your own God, you destroy yourself. You destroy yourself. It's not your righteousness. Because your righteousness doesn't mean a hill of beans in eternity. In fact, your own righteousness will rob you of eternity. So you know what? Stop trying to see it the way you see it. And try to see it the way God sees it. How do you do that, Brother Greg? Pick up your cross and follow Christ. See, this is the problem. I got to pick that thing up. Yes. 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 You got to pick it up. I have to pick it up. In order for me to continue to follow, everyone has to pick it up. You got to pick up that cross. Why do you have to pick up that cross? That cross is a symbol of suffering. That cross is a symbol of suffering. In our modern day society and the situation that we live in today, we don't want to suffer. You've got to pick up that cross. Because if you don't pick up that cross and understand what Jesus went through to get to Calvary, you won't make it through Calvary. Don't you understand that the people around him was his enemy? Do you realize that? The people around him was his enemy. But yet he went to the Calvary's cross for them. For them. And you know what? Some of the very people around you might assume to be your enemy. But you better pick up your cross. And you better go to Calvary's cross. Because if you don't pick up your cross and go to Calvary's cross, you have no part with Christ. You have no part with him. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you praise and worship God. That's the hours. Unless you pick up that cross. Pick it up. It's worth everything. It's worth everything. I'm telling you. I understand. I'm trying to carry that thing every day. And it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. But I'm determined that I've got to carry this cross. And you've got to be determined to do the same. Sit down. Let's be seated. Maybe I need to go from here. Hallelujah. You got to be determined. Amen. Ain't no looking back. Huh? No use of harboring offenses. What are you harboring offenses for? The Bible says, and Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 24 that we will be offended. You will be offended. If you're in a position of suffering, you will be offended. Well, pick up your cross. Pick it up. I determined one thing in my life, in my spiritual walk, that no one was going to cast me away from the church of the living God. Do you believe that I've had my challenges? I've had more than many of you had. I had my opportunities to shut the door and justify my position of why I needed to shut the door. But you know what? The more I got intertwined with the Lord, I realized that it was a greater door of opportunity before me. Did I want to suffer? No one wants to suffer. But how can you address your position in your life with Christ if you never suffer? Amen? And I'm not talking about suffering for your own foolishness. I'm talking about suffering for the sake of Christ. It's easy for to suffer for your own foolishness. But suffering for the sake of Christ. Think about it. What was the experience of the Lord? Here he is with the 12 disciples in Gethsemane, and they all pray. He's praying. And then the Lord goes out and looks at the disciples, and they all sleep. You know what that feels like? Do you know what it feels like to attempt to serve God, and everyone, and you find that the only one that's really trying to serve God is you? You know what, how that feels? Does anybody know how that feels? I know how it feels. I'm a pastor. But he went out and seen the 12, and the 12 were asleep. And he asked him and said, listen, can't you pray for an hour? And then he told him the conditions of the flesh and the spirit. Oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And of course, they had a good excuse because they didn't have the Holy Ghost then. But what's our excuse today? What's our excuse today? We all brag and talk about how we got the Holy Ghost. Well, why don't we exemplify the things of God's Spirit and the fruits of His Spirit? Why don't we work on that? Am I right? We need to work upon that. We need to work upon the fruits of God's Spirit. You will not get there. You know, you will not get there just through your own thought pattern, your own ideas. You know, you need to get away. You know what? First of all, you need to get away from your own thoughts. Because your thoughts are the ones that destroy you. Or your own ideas on how you're going to serve God. It has nothing to do with how you're going to serve God. You don't have a right in the matter because you've sold yourself. You don't have a right in the matter. What man did you ever know had a right to his own salvation? Huh? I'm talking boldly today. What right does any individual in here have to their own salvation? Or do we not know who we serve? Huh? Do we not know who we serve? Do we have the right to harbor offenses and things against our brothers and our sisters or attitudes or spirits or whatever? No one has that right. We don't have that right. We're commanded to love. But you know what? What we don't understand is that in order to understand love, agape love is challenged. It's challenged. It's not given. It's challenged. Challenged. And that's what the cross is all about. The cross is a challenge of love. Now you think about this. I want you to get your minds on one thing. Here is Jesus, God enrobed in the flesh, walking in the midst of his creation. And you know what they're doing? They're spitting upon him. Spitting on him. They're cursing him. They're mocking him. We don't put ourselves in the place where God was. They're mocking him. They're mocking him. God himself. They're mocking him. They put a heavy cross on his shoulders. The Calvary's cross, that he might die upon that cross. They gave him, it's like giving a man a weapon and telling him or give him a gun and tell him to put it to his head and then pull the trigger. And they spit on him and they mocked him. This is the place where we have to see and understand the importance of our service to God. Because you know what? I find one thing in the church today. It's too much where people believe that the service is all about them. God didn't die to serve you. He didn't die for you to serve you. He died to save you. Amen. To save you from yourself. Yourself. remember now, Adam was deceived. Eve was deceived. They had the opportunity to make a choice. They made the wrong choice. And within their bloodline derives the same bloodline that's in our veins today. You know, God could destroy the whole thing and start all over again. But he chose not to. And here we are, approximately 6,000 years later. Not after God had created Adam, but after the fall. God has poured out his spirit, died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, did everything. And we stand here talking about going to heaven. Come on, y'all. Come on. How you gonna get in a man's house that you don't even understand and you don't know? Huh? When you're too busy worrying about this house down here. This is what we worried about. This house here. Pick up your cross. Pick it up. It's heavy. Yes, it's not smooth. Yes, you might get splinters in your shoulder. Yes. Yes. We want the easy salvation. We want the blabbing and grabbing salvation. We pray God goes to that. Huh? We want to tell everybody. It's great to tell everybody the signs and wonders and the miracles of God. It's great to tell people about it. But you know, I find that it matters very little if we don't understand it from the position of suffering. See, some of you have never suffered. You say that you suffer. You claim that you suffer. But you know why you suffer? Many of you suffer for your own foolishness. Now, I'm going to be very blunt. Many of you suffer from your own foolishness and your own unwillingness to let the Spirit of God change you. It's not anybody that's doing anything against you. Nobody's doing anything against you. You're doing it against yourself. You're doing it against yourself. And you're blaming God and you're blaming everybody around you. And it's everybody else's fault but your own. Amen? And God's doing everything in his power to reach into your life and to show you what you need. Let me ask you a question, y'all. I don't have to change to secure your salvation. You have to change to secure your salvation. Not me. Some people would say, well, you know, maybe if you had a better pastor. You know, I mean, hey, maybe if he did this differently in the service. You know, it's always easy to shuffle it on someone. Other situation. Amen. It's always easy to have another scapegoat. It's always, listen, let me tell you something. Do you realize how big my shoulders have to be? If it wasn't for the Lord, I couldn't carry the weight. How many times did I go to bed at night praying, seeking God with a question mark? Not just for my family, but for every family in this church. Every family in this church. You think that's easy? I got to carry the cross. Because I took on the seat of responsibility. Amen. I wasn't forced into it. I was called into it. I was called into it. And now I'm attempting and always have attempted to give the best direction that I have knowledge of. Have I made mistakes? Of course. Because I'm human. Of course I made mistakes. But you know what? I never made a mistake where a person could lose their salvation. Because every man's soul is his own. Every man's soul is his own soul. Brother Rosenfeld, the Lord has called you to the ministry. Amen. The only one that can sustain you and keep you and raise you to greater heights is the Lord. Same thing with Brother Lance. Praise God. I can't elevate anyone. I can't elevate a soul. There's other brothers. Brother Ritter. There's other brothers here that the Lord is dealing with lives to take you to greater life, pasture, challenge your life. Brother Nemox, of course, has already went through the mill. He's already been through many portions of and flanks of the ministry. Don't you realize it's a very sensitive area? You know what the title of my message was going to be today? All Things to All Men. The uniqueness of Paul's ministry was his capability of being all things to all men. You know how big a struggle that is to be all things to all men? Do you know how many times you have to tear yourself apart to try to minister to every situation and every circumstance? Do you realize how different every family and every individual, every situation, every child is different within themselves? Do you know how difficult it is to attempt to reach that? You know what? From the human sense and the human form, it is impossible. The only way that this church should be filled according to the flesh is by people that are like me. That's right. There are people that are like me. Amen. Because you know, that's the only people that you in the flesh will be successful with. It's people that are like you. But when it comes to the realm of the spirit, that's why I thank God and I know that our salvation is not predicated just off religion by itself. But it's the spirit of God that brings us in and makes us one body. His body. Anybody ever see All Things to All Men? I thought about that when I read that. I was sitting there the other day. It was a situation that came across my desk, a problem and a situation. And the Lord began to minister to me and say, all things to all men. And I went back and I looked at that scripture. And I thought, my goodness, the difficulty of ministry is not the, you know, some people think that the power of ministry is in the pulpit. That's the smart part. That's the small part. That's the fun part. That's easy. This is the easiest part. Right here. You have to be careful what you say. And how you say it. You know why? Not because just the movement of God's spirit, but everybody's spirit is different. All things to all men. Everybody's spirit is different. God's going to deal with everybody in a different way. You know why? Because he's supposed to. Because you're not all the same. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. Some are more difficult than others. Some have different problems than others have. And some, I would say, and exactly what I would say to everyone, is that I know one thing in this time of my spiritual walk, that if you serve God with all your heart and all your soul, I don't have any problems with you. It's simple. It is a really simple thing. It's all about who we're serving. If you're serving yourself, then you're going to get the results of selfishness. That's what the results you're going to get. You're going to be angry. You're going to be frustrated. You're never going to be settled in your spirit. That's the results that you get. That's the result. Whatsoever man soweth is also what he shall reap. The word of God is true. Amen. Now maybe you think I'm too free and I don't let anything bother me. Well, you know why I don't let anything bother me? Because God doesn't let it bother me. Because I pray. and I rest everything in his hands. Because there's so many things that I cannot do anything about. There's so many people and so many situations and circumstances, even in my own family, that I cannot change. That if I wish, that if I could change it, I would, but I can't. So I rested at his feet. I find me a place of prayer. And I said, Lord, help me. And you know what? I don't even ask the Lord to help me to change the situation anymore. I ask the Lord to help me to cope with it. Because you know what? I realize that some situations are there to make you what God wants you to be. So if you're looking for a perfect situation, guess what? Stop looking. Because it will never show up. It will never show up. You will never have a perfect situation. Amen? And you, when you do have the perfect situation, you will not know it's perfect until after. You will not have it. Pick up your cross, follow him. Trust God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Whatever he brings before you, go forward. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, it's not the scripture that you have knowledge of. It's the scripture that you live. What scripture do you live? I got a whole lot of knowledge of scripture. But what do I live? What do I live? If I believe in victory, I should live victory. Am I right? See, I try to live what I believe, because what I believe changes me and helps me to become what God wants me to be. Does it always feel good? Most of the time it don't. But it got good results. Most of the time it don't feel good. It don't feel good. But I thank God for the results. Remember what the scripture talks about? How bitter the word of God can go down and how sweet it can be. Bitter. That means that you don't like it. Don't taste good. But it's good for you. Pick up your cross. You know, don't pick it up and walk a few paces and then lay it back down and get back in the flesh again. And then say, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of people telling me you got the Holy Ghost. I want to see the fruits of this Holy Ghost. I'm tired of folks just telling me, I got the Holy Ghost. Oh man, come on. I'm serious. I am serious. I want to see the fruits of God. I want to see the love of God pour out of people. Genuinely, where they really do care. That's right. Don't tell me. Don't give me a Bible study. You forgot, you know how many times people want to get a preacher a Bible study? I have all kinds of people want to give me a Bible study. Huh? Why you want to give me a Bible study? I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. Amen? That's not saying that I won't submit to a Bible study, but why are you trying to give me a Bible study? You know why some people try to give me a Bible study? Because it helps them to explain what they don't understand. Because you're only going to understand it from the realm of the Spirit and picking up your cross and following him. And as you pick up that cross and follow him, you're going to find that it gets pretty heavy. But you know what? You ain't like the Lord. When the Lord picked up his cross and followed him, he fell in the street. They came along and he laid the burden of the cross on someone else. And the reason why he laid the burden of the cross on someone else, because it wasn't his cross to carry. Because he had never sinned. But you can't lay the burden of your cross on someone else. You got to go ahead and carry that cross. Because it's nobody else's fault but yours. He had to save you. When he went to Calvary, if he didn't go to Calvary's cross, salvation would not have been an option. Now what are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? So many people try to bind this thing up and put it in a religious sense. You know, make the church out a correctional facility. This is not a correctional facility. This is not a jailhouse. Amen. And we're not going to make it out of a jailhouse. The mercy and the love of God presides here. And you know what? That's to all men. I don't care what your condition is. I don't care what you've done in your life. Because the church of the living God, if you understand the scriptures properly, is not a correctional facility. This is not a correctional facility. If you want to go to the correctional facility, go to Mannheim. This is not the place. This is not, we are not putting men, we are not incarcerating men. We are changing them. Incarceration is different. Religion has the power to incarcerate. Religion incarcerates people. Locks them up. Amen? And God said, what did God tell Lazarus? Told him to undo him and set him free. That means that Lazarus was no longer a dead man. He was a live man again. The Lord's still doing the same thing in the church. In his church. Now somebody else's church, I don't know what he's doing. That makes sense? I don't know what he's doing in somebody else's church, but I know what he's doing in his church. Let me read something to you real quick. I'm going to try to close on this note. Let's turn to Corinthians chapter 3. This was the basis of my message. These two particular scriptures captures. I want you to listen to something, and I want you to listen to it very carefully. And especially those men that have been called to the ministry. I want you to listen to something that's very important for us to understand. In verse 6 it says, I have planted. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. He said, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. You see that? I have planted. I planted it. Brother Nemox watered. And God gives the increase. Brother Nemox didn't give the increase, nor did I give the increase. But it was our unity beyond our indifferences. Praise God. It was our unity beyond our indifferences, and God gave the increase. Did that make sense? We're not the same. We have our indifferences, but we also know where we belong in Christ. And we also know that God gives the increase. And so I planted it. He watered it. And God gives the increase. That means there's no room for separation. Because once you separate, the unity of the body is lost. And God can't provide the increase that he wants to provide. Go to the next scripture. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, and neither is he that watereth. Thank you. Am I right? We ain't nothing. But God that giveth the increase. Praise God. Hey, this is the beautiful thing about the word. God giveth the increase. Go to the next. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Unity. Unity. Not in all things, but in heavenly things, unity. And every man shall receive his own reward according to what? Come on, y'all. According to what? According to whose labor? His own labor. So it all depends on what amount that you're willing to put in God. He'll receive it according to his own labor. Go to the next, brother. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. So we're a vineyard, and we're also a building of God. Go on. And according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a what? Now listen. According to the grace of God, which is given to him as being a what? A wise master builder. Who is the master builder? Paul. Paul is the master builder. Look at your scripture. Paul is the master builder. He says, given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. So Paul said, I started off. I laid the foundation. Amen. But let every man take heed. Now listen. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Be careful. Be very careful. Praise God. Be careful. Go to number 11. For other foundations no man could lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation is Jesus. The master builder depends upon the ministry. Now, if anyone feels as though that I've attempted to lay a foundation, lay you upon a different foundation than Christ, let me know. Because Christ is the only foundation I know. Go to the next, brother. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, now listen, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Move on. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Go back to 12, brother. Now I want you to look at the elements here. It says gold, silver, precious stone, wood, and hay, and stubble. Now all of those are elements within themselves. Am I right? Now, the most important thing about those is the substance of what they can endure. The substance of what they can endure. Go to verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what? What shall it be revealed by? Fire. By fire. Remember I told you about the fiery trials? Didn't I tell you about the fiery trials? By fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now what does it mean of what sort it is? Whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's stubble, whether it's hay, or whether it's wood. Go to verse 14. If a man's work abideth, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive what? He'll receive reward for the work that he's done. This is to the ministry. This is the work that, you know. He'll receive a reward. And go on. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Listen, but he himself shall be what? By what? By fire. Is anyone exempt? Is anyone exempt from the position of fire? No one is exempt from the position of fire. Even though my ministry could suffer loss, and I might not receive the reward of what all y'all could be in eternity. But be myself, I could be saved. That's what he's talking about. But yet, still by fire. Go back to 12, brother. 3 and 12. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What are you made of? If you're made of, if your spirit and your attitude is made up of wood, hay, or stubble, what's going to happen when you get into the fire? You're going to be consumed. You're going to be consumed. But if it's made of gold and silver and precious stone, praise God, you'll make it through. Why? Because your service to God depends upon your attitude. Not your attitude to serve me, but to serve him. And that's why you have to pick that cross up and follow him. He'll lead you and direct you into places that you've never been before. This is something that people don't realize. All things to all men is more than just getting up on Sunday and preaching. It's more than just having a church dinner, putting people together. And you teach Sunday school. You know? It's a lot more than that. It's whether or not we really have the insight of what God is attempting to do. When you pick up your cross and you follow him, you get the insight. That's why most people, that's why you can walk into a church and some folks are just flying around. And everybody say, well, what's wrong with them? And everything the pastor say, they support everything the pastor says. You know why? Because they more likely they're carrying their own cross. They're carrying their cross. They can see where God has manifested himself. You got to be able to see where God manifested himself in this body, in this church. But you got to be careful upon one foundation you build upon. See, these are things that I have no control over. I have no control. See, this is what y'all don't realize. I don't have any control over this. That's you. Are you gold? Are you silver? Are you hay, stubble? You know? Do you have to call me 15 times and make things to tell me what you're doing or how you're doing it or what you should be doing or what you can't do? That's not always the case, but the attitude is what you receive. Are you listening to the word of God? Do you have a grudge against me? Because if you do, it's going to blind you from whatever God wants you to do. That's right. It's going to blind you. It's going to blind you. And don't get me wrong. Let me tell you something. I'll be honest with you. I want to let everybody's spirit rest assured. If there's something wrong with me and your relationship, I know it. I just don't say anything. Because you know why? I've learned the importance of prayer. God is my comfort. I know. I can tell you down to the detail how you feel about me. I know. Because God, he reveals all things. I know. So I don't want anybody to be in darkness and I don't want anybody to be in doubt. But I know. And I'm glad that I know. Amen. Some things you wish you didn't know, but I'm glad that I know. You know why I'm glad that I know? Because then I know how to pray. Oh, Jesus. I've learned one thing in this thing. You'll never make it if you don't pray. That's why I emphasize prayer. Prayer is part of picking up your cross. Now, we knew that before I finish up, how great was Calvary to Jesus? How great a sacrifice was it? Some of y'all don't realize how great the sacrifice was. Do you realize that Jesus went to Calvary's cross, carried that cross, and carried the weight of sin? The Bible tells us that we know for sure if there was not an experience of Gethsemane, there would have never been a Calvary. He had to die to his own flesh. You know why he had to die to his own flesh? Because he did not deserve to die. And the flesh said, you are supposed to live. And he had to go against the grain of his flesh, go out to Calvary, and weep and pray and drop great sweats of blood to put down the grain of that flesh that he might go for those who were unworthy to go for. And then, of course, he got to Calvary. They nailed him to the cross. And as they put the nails in his hand and in his feet, the Bible says he did not make one sound. My question to you, why are we always complaining? Why are we always complaining? Why is there always a complaint? You know why? Because the flesh is not dead. Always complaining. This is not right, and that's not right, and they did this, and they did that. Sometimes we go to different places and deal with different people in different offices, and they made mistakes, and they did this, and we just feel as though we need the best of customer service. But sometimes we need to just bless those people and say, we understand. We understand. It didn't work out. That's all right. We can still have a good day. God bless you. You know what I'm trying to say? That's the love of Christ. Hey, you know why? Because I've been to the cross. They put the nails in my hands. Hallelujah. And then I come in and I make my demands because I'm so-and-so, and I feel that I can make my demands. And as I make my demands, I'm destroying the position of their day. I know they made a mistake, or whoever made the mistake, and somebody's got to pay for the mistake. Why does somebody always have to pay for the mistake? Why? What type of spirit is that? That, you know what that is? That's part of the fire, y'all. That's part of the fire. Because you know what? You know, it's one thing. Your complaining hasn't changed anything. It might change their attitude to the point is that they might get up and really get upset towards you. With all the time you have the power and the control to say it's going to be all right. Can we call somebody and get it done? When you say that, oh man, they feel so good. Hallelujah. And they do everything in their power to help you to get wherever you need to go. You know why? Because you've been to the cross. I'm tired of hearing the complaining of saints. I want you to stop complaining, and I want you to learn the importance of the cross. Work together. Submit yourself to each other. Amen. Submit yourself to each other. Does it hurt? Yeah. Yeah, it hurts. Have you ever been through the pain? Yeah. Still go through it. All the time. Submit yourself. That's what the scripture said. It didn't say that we preach it. It didn't say that we talk about it. It says that we should do it. You know what that is? That's a nail. Now, one of the worst things to do is when that nail is being driven in your hand. Ow! 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 I'm not willing to suffer. I'm not willing to go through this. I don't have to do it. What's happening? And of course, naturally, everything that a part of the cross, everything is stopped. You know, if the Lord would have screamed, "Stop," and he would have called those angels, he would have destroyed the world. Let's stand. All things to all men. That's not just the position of preachers, but it's to all of us. You don't have to like it. You don't have to. A lot of things in the position that my flesh don't like, but my spirit has grown to love it. Because it hurt. It hurt. But it's all right. God has ministered us here today. Spiritually. He has done everything in his power to enrich our souls. And to let us know that he's in our presence. But he's also told us today. That if we don't do it his way. It won't be done. And you can't blame him because he's God. But you know what? There's something wonderful about submitting to his presence, because he's such a comforter and he loves us so much. He tells us that he wouldn't chastise us if he didn't love us. Am I right? I don't believe the Lord has beat upon us today. But I do believe that it's undoubtable that the Lord has brought us to a spiritual understanding that one day he will present before us before we go into eternity. Think about it, y'all. We want to close in a word of prayer. But I want to let everybody know, if they want to pray, the altar's open. Amen.